Good afternoon. I have a title to this afternoon's message, and it's going to be the operation of the family of God, and this will be number three. But before I start, I would like to proclaim that I have a love for the people of God and for the family of God. I have a love for the Word of God, and I have a deep appreciation as well as a strong belief in the Word of God. What the Word of God teaches, I believe with all my heart. So I just wanted to proclaim that. This word proclaim has sort of been on my heart and mind, and I believe that the Lord wants us to openly proclaim our love for His ways. Think about the scripture that says that His ways may seem, I'm adding some words there, but I think they fit. His ways may seem to be past finding out, because His thoughts are far above our thoughts. His ways are above our ways. And yet He is calling for us to seek for and earnestly desire His ways. So I want to open the thoughts this afternoon, and by extolling our God, and I want to do it with this particular verse. It's a verse that the Lord gave me many years ago, inspired it to me, and I often have used this verse in my prayer, in the beginning of my prayer. So 1 Chronicles 29:11 says, "Thine, O Lord, is the greatness and the power and the glory and the victory and the majesty." So I believe that that particular verse, it will extol our God before we look into His word today. We want to lift Him up. I also want to magnify the Trinity: God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit or Holy Ghost. And then to connect a verse with that verse or that thought, 1 John 5:7, there are three that bear record in heaven: the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost. And these three are one. Now I'm going to a scripture in Ephesians 4:5-13 also. There is one body and one spirit, even as ye are called in one hope. There is one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all. Want to emphasize that last part just a little bit. He is above all. Now I'm going to another scripture in Ephesians 1:21. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless His holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all His benefits, who forgiveth all thine iniquities. Aren't you thankful that we have a God that is so great and above all, that He is able to forgive all of our iniquities? The scripture says there's no other name under heaven whereby men shall be saved. But we have that name. And we're able to go before him with whatever our spiritual needs are. If we feel that we have failed along the way, his arms are outstretched still. And he invites us, come boldly to the throne of grace to find help in time of need. So this afternoon, I am so thankful that he is able to forgive all of my iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases, who redeemeth thy life from destruction, who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies. I hope these verses this morning, or this afternoon rather, will extol our God in our hearts and minds. And maybe we get so busy with life, and maybe we are thankful, and we go before the Lord with thanksgiving and offer thanksgiving along with our request. And yet we need to understand and be refreshed in our mind that God is great, that he is above all. I'm thinking of this, that being a part of the family of God is such a blessing that he bestows on all of the redeemed of the earth, not just our little congregation that's represented here this afternoon, but the scripture says, this is the seal of the Lord. He knoweth everyone that belongeth to him, and that's everyone on the face of the earth. So I'm thankful that he knows each of his children. He is the good shepherd. The scripture says his sheep knows his voice and will follow him. So we have a great Heavenly Father, God the Father, and God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost. And I count it a great privilege that that God has revealed unto his people his plan for his body in the earth, for his church, for the family of God. He's opened it up unto us, and he's given us light and understanding. And what a great privilege it is that God loves us so much that he wants us to understand his ways. It's a wonderful privilege to have confidence that God is the head of over all things. Thank the Lord. So I have a scripture now in Isaiah 9:6, and the message this afternoon is not new. We may not have heard it often, maybe of late, but I will say that there was a time in my life that we heard this kind of teaching and preaching to remind us of God's plan for his church. So this particular verse says the government, just a little phrase in that verse, the government shall be on his shoulder. So shoulder, it's translated from a Hebrew word that means the neck area between the shoulders where burdens are placed. I'm going to read that again. Sometimes it might be difficult not having a speaker stand in front of you. And it's easy for our minds to drift in the afternoon, but I'm going to encourage us to shake ourselves a little bit and draw our minds in and try to focus upon the word of the Lord. So when the word of the Lord says that the government of what? The government of his work in the earth, the government of his church in the earth, the bride of Christ, the body of Christ, the church of God. He's got the government. He is the governor of the church of God. And it says it's on his shoulder. Some have mentioned when they read this, it just says one shoulder. And yet he has an extra shoulder if he needs it. He knows how to bear our burdens. He knows how to bear our afflictions. But it says that it's from a word that means the neck area between the shoulders where burdens are placed. If you look at an oxen or some other animal that is a burden bearer and they have the harnesses strapped up to them, where's the weight of it? It's up around the neck area. There's a strength there. And so our God is able to bear the government of the church of God on his neck. In reality, that's what it's saying. It's on his neck. The divine government for the church of God and for the people of God is born by and rests upon the foundation or shoulder of Christ. Thank the Lord. This is one of the things he died for. It was in the plan of redemption. It was designed for all future people of God that would come under the name of the church of God, the redeemed of the earth. So it is born and it rests upon the shoulder of Christ. It is not, this was something that I read, it said it is not on personalities of human beings. Now, I think it's important that for the next generation, we begin to instruct them that the church of God is ordered and is it operates under a different system than other churches in the world. You might, I've heard that you can go to certain places and when you go in, you're handed a program. And they pretty well will follow that program. Maybe they'll already have their songs picked out. Maybe they will have who the one chosen to pray. Maybe they will have the title already written down for the message. So, you know, that's might be the order of other places. But for the church of God, human personalities and human abilities are not counted anything. We must have our eyes upon the one who is the governor of this body of Christ in the earth. So if you look at our government in our nation, it has a fundamental role to protect our citizens. Mm-hmm. And by definition, which I read this online, they're to be protected from the sinful conduct of neighboring countries. Well, we sometimes might have countries living close to us that may be counted as an enemy. But our government is supposed to be strong enough to protect the citizens of the United States. So the government that we're speaking of today, of the Church of God and for his people, it is to help preserve order. So I would like for you to keep that in your mind as one of the definitions for this government. It is to help preserve order. So God is a God of order. If we look at the creation, all things that were set in motion and order by his spoken word, it has continued to this day, just as he said it should and would. And it has also, it will continue. We don't have a worry that the sun is going to burn out tomorrow. He set it in order. And he said it in his plan, it will be there until the day of the Lord. So we can trust what God has set in order. The scripture says, God is not the author of confusion. One thing that we might even say to each other when we're feeling confused in our own mind, we might say, well, where does confusion come from? The scripture says that confusion is of the devil. So we don't want any confusion in the church of God, because that's an indication that the devil is taking advantage of something or some individuals, and therefore we want the Spirit of the Lord to be the one that is ordering all things. Yes. Now, do we believe in the Holy Spirit leadership? See, this is something that the younger generation, maybe we haven't really taught it or preached it as often what maybe I heard when I was young. It's very important that we believe that the Holy Ghost is the one that is ruling over our services. So we have, again, in the Trinity, we have God the Father, which is the head of the family of God or the head of the church. We have God the Son, which is the Word. He was called the Word. And all things that were spoken, all things, all of the teachings, all of the instructions comes under God the Son. And then we have God the Holy Spirit. So the Holy Spirit is the operational and workings of God. I like to say it this way. It is the order-setting agent. It is the Holy Spirit that orders and promotes our services. So that is his work. It's good for us to understand this. Maybe as we are praying for our services, maybe on the way to church, or maybe throughout the week, and what do we say? Lord, order our services. Let everything, and this is another scripture, let everything be done decently and in order. So we come down to our local service. Is it just for our local service that we're going to desire the Holy Spirit to be there and order everything in the service? It reaches to our camp meetings. Maybe those looking on, well, I will say this. I have known of outside visitors that have come to Monarch and witnessed the order of the Holy Spirit, the ordering where no man had any control. No man decided, we're going to sing this many songs. We're going to preach on this subject. That's called man rule. But when God is in control and ordering our services, he's inspiring through the Holy Spirit individuals that will maybe call the right song. Have you ever been in a service at Monarch, so to speak? I know you have. I have. And the Lord anoint a song so richly that we might sing it a second time. We have been in services when the Holy Spirit would be so working in the song service, it would never go to preaching. The anointing would be in the songs. The conviction would be in the songs. And there would even be an altar service as a result of the working of the Holy Spirit in our service. That is so rich. We don't ever want to lose that element in our services. But we've had outsiders come and look upon our services at Monarch and be amazed. And they would be so attracted to it. They wanted that. They wanted to take that back to their church. And I've known individuals that have tried to do that, but it just didn't work if the whole congregation didn't have the vision of it. But nonetheless, the Holy Spirit is the one that is going to work in our midst, in our services. So we may, you and I, may have an idea when we come to church each time. Well, we're probably going to sing a few songs, and we're going to take prayer requests, and we're going to have prayer, and we may have a special song, and then we may have preaching, and then we may sing a song. I'm saying this is a routine, but our routine needs to be subject to change should the Holy Spirit so order it. If the Holy Spirit orders a certain change, we need to have a witness of it. There needs to be a witness through the Spirit. It should never be just this person, oh, I like this song so well, and try to drum up an emotion that will affect the congregation. That is human emotion. We want the Holy Spirit to work in our hearts and lives and minds and witness the anointing. And I want to speak about anointing a little bit before we close. But I'm thinking it is not wrong for us to come with some order in mind. That is called order. God has met us in that order many, many times. But we need to be subject should the Spirit of the Lord see fit to change our service in some other way. But again, let it not be of human thinking. Let it be. And this is another thing. We can always determine the work of the Spirit. One way, there will not be confusion. There will be unity of the Spirit. It will be a blessing. It will not be a question. Well, what was that all about? It will be, this was the work of the Holy Spirit. So we have it in our service and we have it in our camp meetings. The perfect order setting work. Now, this is how I wrote it down. This is how I felt like it was inspired to me. The perfect order setting work should influence every aspect of our services. Do you believe that? I believe that. Singing. We should not come to service. How shall I say it? No, I'll restate it. We should come to service with inspiration. Maybe a song that was given to you in the week that just fed you and anointed your spirit and spoke to you. Listen for the still small voice. Maybe the Lord wants to use that inspiration earlier in the week to be a blessing to the congregation. Be in tune with the Spirit of God yourself. Listen to those inspirations, those songs that may come to you in the night. Let them feed you in the day. Sometimes it may be on the way to service, and the Lord give you a song. Maybe that's the Holy Spirit. Check it out. Put it to the test. Don't just say, well, I think that's such a good song, I'm going to call it when I get there. No, put it to the test if it's of the Spirit of the Lord or not. But it's not just bringing a song. It's calling a song. Being influenced by the Spirit of God for a certain song. Coming with a song is one thing, but after you're there, flipping through the pages, and we've all done it, and that's not wrong, you're putting the test to the Spirit. Lord, what do you want next? Is there a song that will bless the congregation? And then special songs. Mm-hmm. Special songs needs the anointing of the Holy Spirit equally as much as any other work during the service. When it is anointed, when it is alive, it affects each one of us. I cannot tell you how many times a special song was sung just before I get up to preach. It would be exactly what I needed. It would inspire me. It would lift my spirit. Sometimes it would make me cry. It would be touching my heart so much that I would shed tears. That's all part of the Spirit of God anointing and blessing and ordering our services. And I've always appreciated the anointed special singing. I don't know how many times the Lord has done that for me. The next part of our service is our prayers. And I'm going to say this to encourage us and not condemn us. I believe the Lord wants us to come willing to lead out in prayer. And Brother Dan has been preaching some things of late. Of us moving out into out of our comfort zone, you might say. I'm just going to ask this question, and it's not to expose anyone. It's to cause each one of us, stir up your pure minds right now. Draw your mind in. I know it's a drowsy time, but I want to tell you something. God is calling for us to step up to the plate, to fill places, have the life to back it up, your prayer life at home backing up when you can lead out in prayer. I don't want anyone to feel troubled about this, but I believe God's calling. He's calling for us to fill some places of leading out in prayer. I don't believe that it has to be a certain few. I believe God's wanting to bless our whole congregation to hear others lead out in prayer. Oh, you might say, well, I can't do it. Like Dan said, I can't do it as good as somebody else. Don't even compare yourself to anyone else. Just it be between you and God. Doesn't have to be a long prayer. God hears little prayers and short prayers. He hears prayer. How many, and I'm not asking for hands, how many of you pray at home? Well, I am confident that you all have prayer times at home where you have made all of your requests known unto God. You know, we're just a little handful of people here. We're just a little congregation. We're just a little part of the family of God. And how, what a blessing it is if we can have grace to lead out in prayer Sunday morning, after service, afternoon or night, Wednesday night. You know, God is wanting to bless you to be a blessing to the little congregation here. So praying can be anointed of the Holy Spirit and led and ordered of the Holy Spirit. But it'll take some preparation. Not that you practice at home, not that you practice how you will say your words, but because you have been in the closet with God. Didn't they say that about the apostles? They took note that they had been with Jesus. And I'm going to say this also as an encouragement. On a Wednesday night, you know, when we have, well, not only on Wednesday night, on Sunday school, there's just a little handful of you in the congregation. And when you speak up, don't you know God takes note? And I've heard it. So I'm just going to leave that. I'm going to go to testifying. God, the Holy Spirit wants to anoint our testimonies.
Amen, sister.
He wants it not only in our local service. He wants it if we go to camp meeting. And I'm going to insert this about camp meeting. Camp meeting is a big meeting with a lot more people than any other normal service. We have a definite, I don't want to say format, but we have a definite purpose. We're promoting the Word of God through the preached Word. I mean, that's just as a normal rule, that's how it goes. If we get up to testify, let us consider the time that we take out of that service. That can be so damaging to the spirit. Did you know if we damage, like the little children are saying, quench not the spirit? The little children sang that song this morning. If we overtalk at a camp meeting, we are causing the spirit to withdraw. You might not think that, but make sure if you get up and speak at a camp meeting that it's under the full unction of the Holy Spirit and it's under the anointing of the Holy Spirit. It is alive. It will promote His Spirit. But if we overdo it, it can cause the Spirit to withdraw. So our testimonies, whether in our own services or whether in a camp meeting, let us have the anointing of the Spirit upon the words that we speak. And that's not to put anybody under an accusation or under bondage. It's just good, solid teaching. Our forefathers taught these things, and we need to teach it to this generation. And it's just, I'm just going to say it again, it's just good, solid teaching. So after testifying, it's exhortation. Don't you know, I don't think the scripture speaks of a gift of exhorting, but there have been individuals that demonstrated that the Spirit of the Lord used them in exhorting and supporting a message after a message. Now, an exhortation that is not anointed and promoted and ordered of the Spirit, it can kill a message. Yes. It can absolutely kill everything that has been said. So again, whether it's in our congregation or whether it's in a camp meeting, let us be led of the Spirit if we should follow up after any message. It can be a breaker or it can be a maker, depending on the Spirit. The other one is our preaching. Every one of you, I believe, come to the services expecting an anointed message. Do you not? Do you pray throughout the week for the Lord to anoint the Word of God to the whole congregation, to feed the flock? You all should be supporting that kind of prayer, because that's what's being prayed by the minister. Lord, give me the message that is right for the hour. I will just tell you this. The world can, well, they do, because it's out there. There, when I was working in the school, an advertisement came in the mail to the church. Maybe I've told this before. I opened it, and it was an advertisement for some volumes of messages. And they sent a sample, and the message was completely outlined. It had stories you could include. It looked like anybody could be a preacher. Don't you know there was a temptation? I mean, after all, I'd already experienced seeking the Lord for a message, laboring before the Lord, many times weeping before the Lord. And here it is. Somebody's prepared a message. All I'd have to do is just go open a book and I could just pick one. Would the anointing of the Holy Spirit be upon that? No, it would not. You know, the devil was in that. I just reached over and dropped that thing in the trash. And I never got another one the whole time I was working in the school. Isn't that wonderful? God is wanting preachers to pray down their messages, get the mind of the Spirit, get the mind of God, be led of the Spirit and anointed of the Spirit. Have you ever been in a service where you felt there was a lack of anointing? We have. God is desiring for a congregation. If that's happening, the whole congregation should be praying and seeking God to pour his Spirit out and make preaching easy and give the anointing. This is God's will. He said he chose the foolishness of preaching to save those that would believe. So what we do in this service can appear foolish, but God uses it to feed us, to inspire us, to send us out into the world from this service this afternoon, to go face the trials and tests and temptations of the world with something that you got from the services today. Yes. It's his plan. Thank the Lord. So everything that we do in our services should be decently and in order. And that all that is said and done, everything that is said and done, be done to the glory of God. That's scripture. we're to do all to the glory of God. But the scripture also says, to the edifying. It should be edifying whatever is said and done in our services to the people of God. Thank the Lord. Okay, I'm going to give you one identifying mark. I called it this one identifying mark of the church of God. 1 Corinthians 1 and 10. Now I beseech you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that ye all speak the same thing, that there be no divisions among you, but that ye be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment. Do you believe that? Do you believe the church of God, we should be speaking the same things? We should be believing the same things. We should be placing judgment on sin in the same way. This is God's will. This is the will of the Spirit. Another scripture says that we should be seeing eye to eye and speaking the same things. In other words, we're not going to say the same message. I'm not preaching the same message Brother Dan preached this morning, but Brother Dan's message is in unity with this message. That's what the Lord is calling for. He's calling for a unity. Unity of what? A unity of the Spirit among the people of God. So in closing, I want to just speak of another work, and I said I would. We're going to call it the anointing. And if I gave you the definition of anointing from the dictionary, I didn't feel like it really applied. So I had to stop and think about what I have witnessed and what I have experienced myself. So this is what I believe. I believe anointing is a divine life-giving influence that supersedes human effort. Anointing is the life of our services. So I want to end with this statement. Before I end, I just want to say, let us all treasure the anointing, the Holy Ghost leadership in our services. Let us treasure that. And let us protect it. How do we protect it? We protect it by making sure we are not out of order, that we are following the Spirit. Should I speak, pray, sing, whatever it is, that I'm following the Spirit in it. That's how I'm going to protect that precious anointing of the Holy Spirit. But I'm going to end with this statement. For the Holy Spirit to be able to fully use each of us to promote the life of our services, we each must be also filled with the same Spirit. Take that home with you today. We want Holy Ghost anointed services. But I need to be Holy Ghost filled also. And I'm going to add just one thing. I made the statement just a little bit earlier. I'm going to end with this statement. Learn and get acquainted with the still small voice. Amen.